I need us to know that this morning, contrary to what many think, the church still has a great message to share with the world. It is a message of unconditional love. It is a message of new life. It is a message of forgiveness. Contrary to what many may think, the church still has a relevant message to share with the world. It is a message of redemption. It is a message of assurance. It is a message of victory. It is a message of power. It is a message that brings healing and wholeness. Contrary to what many may think, the church still has a relevant message to share with the world today. It is a message that brings salvation and strength, a message that can encourage and empower. It is a message that can restore hope and a sense of self-worth. It is a powerful and unique message that, if shared, my brothers and sisters, if shared with consistency and effectively, if shared passionately, with compassion, integrity, and in love, it will compel others to become followers of Christ. Beloved, it is a message that tells us that God loves us more than we could ever imagine. It is a message that tells us that God has an incredible plan and purpose for our lives. It is a message that tells us that anybody can become a new person in Christ Jesus. It is a message that lets us know that comebacks are possible. It is a message that lets us know that second chances are possible. It is a message that lets us know that the rehabilitation of our life and of our dreams are possible. It is a message that lets us know that healing and wholeness for our lives is possible. It is a message that lets us know that the impossible is possible. It is a message that reminds us that we can get back up after we've been knocked down and left for dead. It is a message that reminds us that our darkest nights can become one of our brightest days. It is a message that lets us know that God has the final say over the outcome of our lives and situation. It is a message that can heal wounds and transform minds, mend hearts. It is a message that can lift up the downtrodden and set the captive free. It is a message that can empower the weary to keep going. It is a message that can empower those who mourn to rejoice. It is a message that can empower those who are hurting to forgive. It is a message that can empower those who have been abused and misused and those who have made mistakes to move forward with their life in confidence. It is a message that can empower those who have failed to get up and keep striving. It is a message that can transform a bitter heart into a joyful one. It is a message that can transform a troubled mind into a mind awashed in peace, which surpasses all understanding. It is a message that can transform defeat into victory. It is a message that can transform cynicism into optimism. It is a message that can transform despair into hope and regret into rejoicing. And that message is that Jesus is risen. And beloved, this is the message that the sisters in our text received on that very first Resurrection Sunday over 2,000 years ago in our text. But they kept it to themselves. My brothers and my sisters, the sisters in our text were the first recipients of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. The news of Jesus' resurrection was a dramatic reversal of the tragic narrative of Jesus' crucifixion that unfolded 2 days earlier, just 2 days prior to our text. Jesus' story seemed to end in abandonment and betrayal, defeat and in death. Just 2 days prior to our text, the events in our text, these sisters watched powerlessly as Jesus was deserted by the disciples, watched powerlessly as Jesus was betrayed by Judas, watched powerlessly as Jesus was arrested and falsely accused for blasphemy. Just 2 days prior to our text, these sisters watched powerlessly as Jesus was sentenced to death, stripped of his clothing, beaten and bruised, as Jesus had a crown of 6-inch thorns forced onto his head, as Jesus was made to carry a heavy cross, and then as Jesus was paraded through the streets while being humiliated and openly mocked. Just 2 days prior to this text, the sisters watched powerlessly as Jesus was nailed to the cross that he was carrying, and as then he was hoisted up and left to bake in the sweltering Middle Eastern sun until he died sight, they watched powerlessly as they pierced him in his side with a javelin. And then they watched as he was taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb and saw as a heavy stone was rolled in front of it. They watched heartbroken as Jesus, who represented all of their hopes and dreams and aspiration, was buried in a tomb behind a stone. For 2 days, the sisters in our text found themselves in a place where they thought all hope was lost. For 2 days, their hope was buried in a tomb behind a stone. For 2 days, the home of their hurt was buried in a tomb behind a stone. For 2 days, the source of their sorrow was buried in a tomb behind a stone. For 2 days, the place of their pain was buried in a tomb behind a stone. And the Bible says on the Saturday evening, the day after Jesus was crucified and buried, our sisters got up and went out to purchase some spices and perfume so that they could go and anoint the body of Jesus the following Sunday morning. And in the time of our text, anointing a body was a sign of love. It was a sign of devotion and respect. And bringing spices to the tomb would be like bringing flowers to the grave today. And so the Bible says early the next morning, as they made their way to the gravesite, they were having a conversation among themselves about who was going to roll away the large stone that had been placed in front of Jesus' tomb. But to their surprise, when they arrived there, the stone had already been rolled away. And that's another sermon, that God already rolls away some stuff. But puzzled, they entered Jesus' tomb, and to their astonishment, they find an angel sitting where the body of Jesus was supposed to be laying. Shocked and bewildered, the angel says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Beloved, the report given to the sisters by the angel in the tomb in an instant reversed that tragic narrative that they had been trying to cope with and come to grip with over the previous 48 hours as a result of Jesus' crucifixion. Beloved, when I say narrative was reversed, I'm saying that the prevailing storyline of their life and their situation was turned around in their favor. Amen, somebody. And that is to say that prior to Jesus' resurrection, that after Jesus' crucifixion, the headline posted over Jesus' legacy and the headline posted over the disciples' lives read tragedy, failure, abandonment, defeat, and death. Amen, somebody. But in the moment when the angel said, "Jesus is not here, he is risen," in that moment, that narrative of tragedy was reversed and became a narrative of triumph. In that moment when that angel said, "He's not here, he's risen," that narrative of death was reversed and became a narrative of life. In that moment when the angel said, "He is risen," that narrative of abandonment was reversed and became a narrative of atonement. In that moment when that angel said that he's not here, he's risen, that narrative of defeat was reversed and became a narrative of victory. In that moment when that angel said, "He is not here, he's risen," the narrative of crucifixion was reversed and became a narrative of resurrection. In our text, Jesus was betrayed, but he is risen. He was beaten, but now he is risen. He was falsely accused, but now he is risen. He was humiliated and mocked, but now he is risen. He was nailed to the cross, but now he is risen. He was left for dead, but now he is risen. He was placed in the tomb, but now he was risen. His enemies thought that he had failed, but now he is risen. His enemies thought he was defeated, but now he is risen. His enemies thought that they would never hear from him again, but now he is risen. His enemies thought that they would never see him again, but now he is risen. His enemies thought that they had the last laugh, but now he is risen. And I want somebody to know, Abraham, as great as he was, he died and remains dead. Moses died and remains dead. Joshua died and remains dead. As great of a king as David was, David died and remains dead. Elijah died and remains dead. Peter, James, John, Paul, and Mary, as great as they were, died and remained dead. The prophet Muhammad died and remains dead. Buddha died and remains dead. Confucius died and remains dead. Even Dr. King died and remains dead. Malcolm X died and remains dead. Haile Selassie died and remains dead. But only Jesus has the testimony that after death, he's risen. Yes, he is. Beloved, I want you to know that in Jesus' resurrection, God reversed the headlines hanging over Jesus' head. And not only does he, the angel's good news, reverse the narrative of Jesus' crucifixion, it also reversed the narrative of the disciples' failure. What do you mean, preacher? Well, in verse number 7 of our text, the angels tell the sisters to go and tell the disciples and even Peter, who collectively denied and deserted Jesus, that Jesus had gone ahead of them to Galilee and that he would see them there. My brothers and my sisters, one scholar said of verse number 7 that it meant that the desertion of the disciples and the denial of Peter were not the end of God's plan for them. For you see, in verse number 7 lies the promise of forgiveness. When that angel says that he's going ahead of you and that he will meet you in Galilee, in verse number 7 lies the promise of a renewed call and a fresh start for the disciples. See, they were humbled by failure, but now they will be empowered by Jesus' resurrection. And I don't know about you, but that's good news. It's not just good news. As a matter of fact, it's great news. It's great news because it reminds us that no matter how bad, no matter how challenging, no matter how disappointing, no matter how depressing, no matter how maddening, no matter how negative or how tragic or how unforgiving the headlines hanging over our heads are, God can and God will reverse the prevailing storyline of our lives in our favor and for his glory. And that means that the headlines that are written over our marriage, the headlines that are written over our future, the headlines written over our past, the headlines written over our children, the headlines written over our mistakes, over our health, over our life situation, the headlines written over our failures, the headlines written over our potential, can be rewritten by the power of God at work in our lives. And that's a unique and powerful message that ought to be shared. But in our text, the sisters kept it to themselves. The Bible says in verse number 8 that the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing because they were too frightened.